This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up on your feet!
Hello, welcome to Seagull Social Season 4, Episode 18. we didn't win the game, okay? We're just going to get that out of the way. We didn't win the game, but there's more to life than football, boys. That's what I've worked out. There's more to life than football.
No, there's not.
I'm really not in a good... I was not, mate. My head is still...
A robbery at Stamford Bridge. A robbery. I'm fucking pissed off.
That went down
mate.
Well, and I put that out. That went down really
I'm sorry,
well.
Yeah, I'm everyone so agreed with me pissed as well, off. Which is good. VAR, absolute howler once again. Apology probably coming soon as well. I just can't be arsed, mate. It's not enjoyable watching football now. Chelsea fans are going to love the tears, but at the moment it is.
Can I just ask, Ben, what was the VAR decision that got you most? Which one were you most annoyed about?
Take a pick.
Well, there were two. So the first one, obviously, Milner, which I knew it was going to end poorly when he got subbed on. The coming together with Mudryk, I don't think that was a penalty. You know, still got the ball. So that one, he fucked up there, going to the screen. But then the worst one, like the most embarrassing thing that happened all day. Oh, no, then Caicedo should have been sent off, obviously, but we'll get into that twice, back-to-back. Studs down the back of someone's ankles. Didn't get his second yellow, twice happened. And then, when was it? Yeah, so right at the very end, Colwill clearly heads out. But for some reason, the people in the VR studio made him go to review it on screen because they weren't smart enough to see the replay that it literally comes off Levi Cole's head. Everyone could see that from the replay. So why did they then send him to the screen? And then Craig Pawson looks like he points to the spot, which makes me look like a twat for celebrating it. And then he goes, oh, no, it is just actually a drop ball because of that. Also, a really stupid rule that once something like that happens, it has to be a drop ball. It can't be a corner to Brighton, where we had just scored. Anyway,
I was supposed to say, oh, how are you boys doing before, you know, introducing each other before the podcast. But now Ben's gone all in. And do you know what? This is golden content. And Ben, do you know what? I'm going to get Maz's thoughts before I give mine. Maz, any echoes on Ben's side of the rant that was? But I admire it.
So controversially, I think the Milner one on Mudryk was a penalty. I'm not going to lie. I think it was clumsy. It was stupid. I think it was a penalty. To be honest, I can't really see how it wasn't a penalty.
How much did Todd Bowley pay to say that?
I'm not even trolling. I swear. I actually don't think it was a penalty. I do think it was a penalty. It was just clumsy. Like Milner's, there is contact, and he's clumsily just jumped into him. And I know Mudryk is way quicker than him, so there might have been other ways of sort of handling that. But yeah, there was contact. He's gone down.
Milner shouldn't be in that position anyway because he's 38 years old and should not be playing fullback for a Premier League team. Yeah.
To be fair to him, he caught up quite well. I'll give him the credit. I mean, he actually caught up with Mudryk. He's probably like one of the fastest players in the Prem. So I give him that.
He got in Mudryk's slipstream, didn't he? Like a fucking F1 car. I think that's what happened with it.
Ryan,
what do you think?
I mean, in the moment, I didn't even know it was a penalty. I thought it was outside the box, which goes to show the sort of view you have from the Chelsea end. But I don't know. When I watched it back first time in the ground, to me, it looked like Milner slipped and he's sort of fallen into him. And I think that Steele was going to get the ball. And that's what's frustrating. I think it was Steele's ball. And I don't think Mudryk would have scored. So it looked like he slipped. He's almost lost his footing and then they've all sort of tangled together. I don't think he's taken him out, which I guess is the reason why he didn't get a red. But this isn't just me being biased, because I look at the Mitoma one and this is exactly what I said. Mitoma was, this is different, it was right in front of me. And I said penalty, because I said if you're going to give Milner's one, you have to give that one because of the minimal contact, and they've sort of just gone into each other, and Mitoma's made an absolute meal out of it.
Oh yeah, I don't want Mitoma to get into a habit of doing that as well, because otherwise he'll get a bad rep.
Just go for it, mate. Mitoma would probably score from there. That's what's more annoying. But I don't think it was a pen. I don't think either of those were a penalty, because I think if you're going to apply like just general football knowledge. Yeah, this is it, you know. I'm going to bring this up. The game's gone phrase. You know what I mean?
The classic,
the game's gone. And I know it gets thrown around a lot, but my God, it's like a non-contact sport at this point, isn't it? Like,
did you see the Brereton Diaz one from Villarreal Sevilla?
He
scored like a 94th minute winner for Villarreal, way at Seville. He's done an unbelievable run, like knocked it past, you know, like Gareth Bale and Will Buckley used to do, that sentence.
He would knock it forward.
So he knocked it forward and then ran round the defender, got in front of, like, as he was running around the defender, I think the defender tripped up and Brereton Diaz had then slotted it in the absolute limbs, and then they've gone and reversed it on VAR. But it was just like a coming together. There was absolutely no foul in there whatsoever. It's just the game is absolutely gone. And it's not just in the Premier League. It's a shambles everywhere.
Yeah, that's one thing I want to say. As much as, obviously, we disagree on the Milner penalty, just in general, I do want to say officiating is in the mud. Like, it is at the bottom of the pit. Like, just watching Spurs Man City yesterday the whole Jack Grealish through ball, Haaland through ball to Jack Grealish. And then, obviously, all the decisions that went wrong in our game. Like, you just see it across the league now. Every week, it's just a shambles, an absolute shambles, the officiating. And either you've got to start getting rid of referees or train them better. I don't know. Something has to happen. You can't just carry on the way it's going. So, yeah, as much as we didn't agree with the Milner thing, I think the officiating in the game in general was shocking. And like you said, Caicedo should have been sent off. There was loads of decisions they got wrong in that game. Officiating
how
in general
has it got worse,
just
though? Because awful. Obviously when VAR came along, there were these odd mistakes every now and then. I think the first one was it Newcastle away at Tottenham, and Carragher was like, whoever's doing this, stop it now, you're doing it for everyone. And then it kind of got better, and then there wasn't really many mistakes. But now, this season, I feel like every game week there's been an absolute howler and clangor. 100%. So much so that they've had to bring in this TV show that's shite as well, because Michael Owen doesn't ask any tough questions.
It's pathetic,
to Howard
mate.
Wynn.
That is the biggest joke I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's just every week.
As I always revert back to that conversation with Mike Dean, this is why it's so bad, because they're all so in their own little cliques that it just doesn't affect them. It doesn't. They don't care at all. Like it's arguing with a wall. It's literally arguing with a very, very rich wall that will not ever hear you, because they're in their own little cliques and no one can touch them. So, like, as you saw with Mercer, when he kicked off, he said, no one's going to die. Just reverse the game. Like, just change the decision. No one's going to die from it. No, nothing dramatically awful is going to happen if you just apply a little bit of common sense. Mm. And I think that's where it's gone. It's the clear and obvious. It's the overstating rules. It's the making it all, it has to be clear. It's just rubbish. Just stop reading football out of a textbook and watch it. Then you might have a bit of a better game.
I think that's exactly it. It's like now we're getting to a stage where it's getting so by the letter of the law and like VAR, and it's so becoming so technical. You're sort of taking away what the football, you know, the beautiful game was, so to speak, back in the day. I know you sound like your dar, but it's so true. Like, you're losing
essence.
You're losing that essence. Like, let's say in a game, like Ben said, you score a 93rd minute winner, absolute limbs, the away end's going crazy, you're loving life, and then all of a sudden, oh, VAR check, been ruled out. Like, you just lose that whole spark of being a fan. And I feel like if you're going to have something, make it good enough that there isn't this many mistakes. Of course, you can allow for one or two here or there. It's just human error. But when it's like consistently 5-6 decisions per weekend going wrong, surely you have to look at it and think, right, this isn't going well. We need to either get rid of it or really like revamp it to the point where it's better. So yeah, it's just mental at the moment. I just don't know what to do with it, to be honest.
Just to say though, on this refereeing situation, the players have to start taking some responsibility as well, because it's all well and good hiding behind bad decisions, but the constant diving, cheating, the amount of time that you lose in a game, the players have to take some responsibility for it. And this applies to Brighton players as well. This isn't just to anyone, this is Brighton players as well. Caicedo was so guilty of it here. Zizou did it when he first joined. The diving, the cheating, it's João Pedro as well, to be fair. It's just killing the game. Like, and I hate watching it, because you watch yesterday Sanchez, and you know, we'll get onto the Sanchez situation, but I think he had, and it doesn't matter if he played for us or not, I think he had 25 seconds. We were counting in the away end, counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Every time he had a goal kick. And it got to about 30 seconds each time. That's a good 5 minutes added time from goal kicks that they've wasted. And you're not going to get that at the end of the game. You get 10 minutes. So what? You know, that's nothing.
You know, the maddest thing, Ryan, is one of the pundits was saying about, they actually had a meeting about how long the goalkeepers can carry the ball for. And I thought he was going to say that they were going to try and clamp down on it. But he was like, oh no, they're going to potentially extend it from the 6 seconds to maybe like 12 seconds. Was that the goalkeepers do not need any more time on the ball. They do not. And yes, an absolute joke. And I don't know how, like, there used to be like a Twitter page that used to like always clip up when goalkeepers were taking the piss because it was that bad. But yeah, they are an absolute shambles when they're trying to think of, I thought they were actually going to make try and fix it, but they're talking about extending it. I don't get that. I don't get the thought process.
Well, one thing I want to say as well is talk about players sort of, you know, taking responsibility, like you said, Ryan. I think one thing I did like to see, what I did like seeing yesterday was when Haaland tweeted out saying WTF after his, you know, after the through ball incident. I actually like that, because I know
he's doing it on Twitter. Let's put this out there then, Maz. He's put this out, yeah? Shouting proper, like, in his face, yeah? Completely justified, by the way. Let's bring it back to last weekend. Lewis Dunk's got a 2-game ban because he's been personally, whatever the reason is, rubbish, right? If you're going to apply a rule, as I said on the podcast last week, if you're going to stop swearing at referees, but Haaland's had to tell F off to the referee so many times, and then he can tweet that, you've already proved it wrong. In a week.
Agreed. Obviously, there has to be a level playing field in terms of, like, yeah, one rule doesn't apply to Haaland just because he's the best striker in the league. And, you know, Lewis Dunk, again,
best centre-back, you know, in the league.
Best centre, yeah. That's true, you know, not far off. But yeah, obviously, of course, I agree with you. It has to be the same for everyone. However, I do like the fact that we need to start, I think players need to start calling out these decisions publicly, because I think once you get that public outrage from players, especially the people involved in the game, from managers, obviously De Zerbi saying he hates 80% of referees, like comments like that, I know it doesn't help our case.
I think Paulson's on the 80%, mate, something tells me.
But at the same time, I do like them speaking out and actually publicly sort of having a go at the referees, because I think that's when the referees and the referees unions will be like, oh shit, like, we're getting called out publicly now. We've got to really step up or change. So I do like that element of it. I think it has to be done, really.
As much as I agree with it, I don't know. I agree with calling them out. But the trouble is, it's the point of it just doesn't get anywhere. They don't care, as I said earlier. They will just sweep it under and then it will be done. And then that'll be that. And that's what's really annoying, is because, for example, the Athens game on Thursday, you know, it was a pretty... the whole game pretty much flowed. I mean, there was rarely a moment that I can think of where I was really angry at the referee one way or another. And there wasn't really any diving and cheating. It was just a pretty free-flowing game and both teams wanted to win. You know, luckily we won the game. But, I mean, I thought, to be honest, Athens deserved something there. So, like, I can say that without being delusional. And this is the thing, I think that because you see it in Europe and you see it abroad, I know you're saying about the Spanish thing, but the majority of the time in these big competitions, they're fine. And it's never these English refs. And then you've got these English refs that are in such their clique that I don't think, you know, for example, yesterday, De Zerbi makes the comment saying, I didn't see anything because he doesn't want to get involved. Pep said, I don't want to make an Arteta comment, because they're just going to get fined and there's nothing that's going to happen from it. So, like, you know, Ben, I'll let you go from here, but it's just, you can't get them to change their mind.
No, I don't really have any more to say on it, to be fair. You guys have echoed the point perfectly. I was just going to bring up the Pep comment. Like, Pep Guardiola, who is fairly outspoken most of the time, is now afraid to say something because of what happened to Mikel Arteta. So, like, the referees are winning in that situation because they can't be held accountable unless a player like Erling Haaland will tweet something like that and scream at him because of the... I think Haaland's probably venting the frustration that all of us fans have been having this season with VAR, and obviously in previous seasons. It feels like him screaming at them like that has, it's kind of done us a favour. But yeah, like I was saying, the managers are now scared to talk because they'll just get fined or banned. It's just ridiculous.
Agree. Maz, anything else on it, or should we move on from referee talk?
Yeah. I mean, I think we could go on the whole episode just doing referee rant, but we should. Oh, let's do that. Let's do a segment now from now on called
referee rant,
and then just absolute lambast. No, but yeah, just to sort of sweep it all up. It's just really poor officiating in the Premier League. I think the standard of officiating is just at the bottom, the worst it's ever been. And I think something has to change. Something needs to change until there's not 4 or 5 major incidents per weekend. And we're not sat here talking about referees. Like, we're here to talk about football, but it seems every week we're here talking about referees. Yeah. So
first 15 minutes has been about officials. Yeah. But so, I will do a nice segue back into the game, because something else that needs fixing for Brighton is a set piece coach. Because I think, what did we concede 2 set pieces? I know we scored one, but which was incredible because we haven't done that in what feels like months.
I thought it was a known goal as well.
But it just feels like we're an absolute... absolute shambles when it comes to set pieces at the moment. I just don't know how you feel about that, Ryan, but I feel like, I think he's... Is it Nick Stanley? That's not Nick Stanley, is it? It might be Nick Stanley. He's been taking a bit of stick online. No, he's still there.
Oh, right. I don't know why I thought
it would be. Yeah, he got a bit of stick in recent weeks, and that kind of went away, but someone made a point of it saying that the set pieces are a shambles, and I kind of, I definitely agree.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, well, this is the thing. It's like 2 stupid goals, isn't it? I mean, I don't care about who scored them, being Colwill. I mean, the more frustrating thing is how they came about. I mean, Chelsea didn't really have a kick before then. I mean, we were pretty much controlling that whole first half, and we did control pretty much most of the game. I know we probably didn't create enough in the second to kill them, which we should have done. But I thought, first half, we controlled them. And that's what was annoying, because it's this funny 5 minutes that we seem to have, where we basically look like we've never played together before. And maybe still could have done better with the first one, I think, just on first reactions. Second one was, Gilmore tried to get it off the line, and it's gone in. Unfortunate, Disasi, that was a great finish, by the way, back post. And I just know, it's just something about our funny 5 minutes seems to kill us, Ben.
Yeah, it does. we love conceding goals at the moment. And we really need to fix that. In previous episode, we spoke about the goalkeeper situation. I feel like Verbruggen probably does better as well than Jason Steele. That kind of lets me down, especially going back to the set pieces thing. I feel like he's way more of a commanding presence in the box than Jason Steele is in those sorts of situations. So that's another problem we've got to fix, is just getting Verbruggen in there constantly.
I think the record we've got at the moment, isn't it, is we've scored in every game and conceded in every game so far this season, isn't it? Which is just insane. Obviously, it's great on the attacking front, but terrible on the defensive front. And I think that does look. I think there's a few factors though. So, like, you've got to look at injuries. You've got to look at suspensions. You've got to look at rotation. Like, there is a lot of factors. You can't just be like, just poor defensively. Yeah, exactly. Losing Caicedo, losing McAllister, losing Colwill, 3 integral players to how we defended. So, look, it's not great by any stretch. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, it's fine. It's fine for us to concede, 2-3 goals or 1-3 goals per game. But, it's one of those things where you have to look at the factors in that. Like I said, all the things I mentioned, I think that they are integral to why we are not very good defensively. But I agree as well. I think Verbruggen has to be there. Just again, like, you get mad at the match last game and then you get dropped. Like, what does that do? What does that do for your confidence and for your form? I just don't agree with the whole swapping and changing. I want to see Verbruggen back in the sticks.
I mean, even Arteta's changed it, hasn't he? It feels like Raya is just now the solid number one choice in Cup and in the league. So I think De Zerbi can hopefully follow suit there.
Yeah, so just one where it's just you accept defeat and say it didn't work. You know, sometimes you make mistakes, as managers do, as everyone does. But I think sometimes you just have to think, just scrap it for now, because it's not working. Whenever Steele comes in, we just concede too many. And then we bring in Verbruggen and he's not ready. And, you know, Verbruggen's been on such a good wave of confidence recently. I thought the last two games against Forest and Athens, he was brilliant. And then, you know, well, I didn't say he was brilliant against Forest, but he was definitely brilliant against Athens. Made that big save at the end against Forest, should I say. But yeah, I just think it's bad when you've had that man in the match performance-esque and then you sort of just get dropped. You know, I get it's rotation, but it's not necessary now.
And then even more annoying is that the goalkeeper in the opposite end of the pitch has the better game and gets the last laugh, essentially. Robert Sanchez, I've got to give him props. He was pretty decent, I think, for them. Obviously, apart from some of the distribution, which was hilarious, obviously.
His distribution actually has to be the worst in the league, I think. His distribution is a shambles. It's so bad. I can see why we got rid of him from that perspective.
Of course. I just wanted to give him props. I know, because everyone's fuming at him in the Brighton scene, and I understand why for the full-time reaction. I think he went over to the away boys, was gloating in front of Lallana. Even Lewis Dunk had to have a word with him. Yeah, he really, really let himself down there, didn't he? But had a fairly decent game.
Yeah, he took a lot behind that goal, like a lot. I mean, it was he had a rough time from a verbal point of view. I mean, some of the stuff. That
fast forward the 20th of April, Ryan, when he's in front of the north stand.
Oh yeah, mate,
we will be there.
It's footy banter, isn't it? Like, just live it. It's what it's all about. And to be fair to him, he's played it very well. He's taken his time. He's come around the back of the goal. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing when he does this. He keeps coming back to bang his trainers, his boots against the posts. He knows what he's doing. And I think that, you know, fair enough, we give it a bit at the end, but I think JP didn't take it very well. He's sort of come back. Van Hecker's shouldered him, sort of thing, and then it's kicked off a little bit. But Sanchez starts having a go at him, starts having a go at the fans, and then obviously you've got Lewis Dunk coming over, and then from there on in, it's just absolute chaos with everybody getting involved, and it's just high tempers, mate. Everyone was, I was on a breaking point yesterday. I think it wouldn't have taken much for me to go crazy at full time. Everyone was very high on emotion, as you are at the end of a game where you didn't deserve to lose.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think as well, like, if you are getting stick that much at a game, because I remember even in the, you know, Ben, when we went to the Carabao Cup game, even that game, he was getting so much pelted. So, like, I can imagine it was even worse this time around. And, if you're getting that kind of stick, I get why you would react in that way. I'm not condoning.
I think,
like,
I'd do the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you can understand, like, if you've been getting absolutely abused for, like, 90 minutes, you can see why at the end of the game you'd give it some. So, yeah, you can't blame him. It hasn't helped. It hasn't helped his case, because next time, like you said, Ben, I think it's going to be even worse now. I think, because of his reaction at the end. So.
Yeah,
I don't think he's helped his own case.
Sanchez the bum.
No,
nice.
But, like, let's not deflect. We were, I think, in the first half especially, we were dreadful. I feel it just shows that when we don't have either Dunk or Gross or both of them, we don't really look like the same team that we like. Well, we don't really look at our best at all when both of those players are out. And then, you know, as soon as Gross comes on, you think, oh, we could get back into this game, just because of the amount of goals and assists that he has for our team.
I agree.
And those substitutions, the quadruple substitution we made in the second half.
He's always involved as well, isn't he? Like, yeah. he's always the heartbeat. Like, everything goes through him when he's on the pitch, pretty much. And you saw that as soon as he came on, he had the ball at his feet. He was crossing the ball in. It was so many things that he was doing. And I think, yeah, he's so key. Like, him and Dunk, like you said, Ryan, without them two, it's just so evident how much worse we are without them. Whenever they're fit, they have to play.
But then I'll counter this, because I'm just going to say, do you not think first half we were actually better than the second? I thought Hinchwood had a good game, and I actually thought a lot of that first half performance is a lot to be proud of. Facundo, by the way, worth mentioning. What a goal. Really deserves some props, because he's gone through it any recently with Facundo. All of it involved, I think, moving here, language differences, being in England for the first time with the infamous quote, but more importantly, gets a bit of a hard time from Brighton fans. And I think... Yeah. It's definitely good for him to get his first goal. Well, not his first goal, but his first good goal, he'll say. But it was a good moment for him.
I just want to say on that, actually, I think De Zerbi, those substitutes, I don't think were great. I'm going to be honest. I think taking off Lallana, Bonner and Otte at that stage, I just don't think was the right thing to do. And I know, again, it comes down to rotation, you know, keeping players fit and all that stuff. But when they're down to 10 men, you make four subs and you take off Hinchwood, who's having a decent game, Lallana, who's having a decent game, and Bonanotte. That's three of arguably your best players on the pitch. You've taken them off. And so the whole, you know, the good things that we were doing sort of takes a bit of a halt. And then, yeah, we get goal back, but we never really look like we were going to go on to win the game.
That's the trouble. And actually, do you know what? Yeah. Lallana.
Yeah, four changes.
Yeah, it's a lot. And Lallana, I've got to say it, is probably... It's probably our best player when he's fit, and I don't think he gets too much praise for it, because honestly, the difference when he goes off,
it's because we don't see it enough, Ryan. That's why, because he's injured a lot.
Yeah,
so we never see it. I look back on so many games now.
Yeah, I agree. And you look back and you're like, oh my god, Lallana is actually the glue. Like, when he's playing, he is so good, and then he goes off, and then we're just polar opposite to where we were before then. It's literally like taking out like the key figure. It's crazy.
Infamously, my famous line a couple of weeks ago, you know, availability is your best ability. So there you go for everyone who's correcting me in the comments.
You got it in the end.
But it's so true though. It got there in the end. No, but it's so true though, isn't it? Availability is the best ability. And unfortunately for Lallana, he doesn't have that. That is just facts. Like, he's just not available enough, which is the frustrating thing. It's the same with Welbeck. You know, there's games where you think Daniel Welbeck's one of the best strikers in the league, the way he plays sometimes, but then he's just injured 90% of the time. So it's like, great. Okay, cool. It's great having all these incredible players, but if they're injured all the time, it's like Reece James. Like, it's great having one of the best right backs in the world, but if he's never playing, then what's the point? Like, what do you actually gain out of that? So yeah, it's just a shame, Lallana. I do agree with you. His qualities are definitely there. It's just, he's just never a fit, so what can you do?
It's a shame, isn't it? He could have genuinely been probably one of the best players at Liverpool for a long time. Like, he would have been in that squad, in that Champions League squad, etc. He would have been so good for it with the Salah and the firing. It's crazy, really. Any thoughts on Lallana, Ben? Obviously, injuries aside, he's class.
Yeah, no, I've said it before, the fact that when he's fit, he's arguably our best player, or definitely one of. But yeah, it just comes down to the availability. Maz's great line there, because he is barely ever available. And you know, he did get dragged off, and people questioned why, but maybe that was simply because De Zerbi doesn't want to risk him getting injured.
You get 60 minutes.
Running him to the ground. Yeah, you don't know how many minutes he can do these days, so maybe there was reasoning behind it getting dragged off rather than it being tactical.
I reckon just get him on for the last 20 minutes, impact sub, or last half hour, impact, like, just get him on then. That's what I reckon.
Yeah. No, do you know what? I think there's a couple here, actually. We could do this as a little thing, because I think there's a couple of impact players that are good impact players, and I think there's some that should start and aren't good enough to last the whole game. I think Lallana's in the bracket of should start, not good enough to last the whole game, because he just blows out after 50. Whereas I think Mitoma, arguably, and this is probably quite controversial, but I think Mitoma is actually such a good super sub. And don't get me wrong, you want him to start every game, because he is by far our best attacker. By far. But I can't even emphasize that enough. But when he's coming off the bench, like, it's a different demon, isn't it? I mean, because he's fresh-legged. I don't know about you, Ben, but he's one of them that people can't deal with him even more because they're tired.
Yeah. You do see it when he has come on against tired legs. Yeah, he absolutely cooks them.
It's like Mudrick versus Milner.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. But we don't get the penalties, unfortunately, because we're not a big, big six club like Chelsea are somehow. But yeah, no, I don't know. I get what you're saying because he's an unbelievable weapon to bring off the pitch, bring on the pitch late on. But at the same time, he's one of the best players. Okay. Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's just a conversation of how deadly he is off the bench.
No, of course. Yeah. He's just incredible with however tired the player is.
I think the point I'd make is our bench strong enough? I think that's more of the conversation. I think, do we have the impact players to come on and, you know, change and affect the game? Obviously we do because half the time he's putting starters on the bench. Like, you know, you'd argue João Pedro should start with the amount of goals he scored. Again, Matoma coming off the bench, again, arguably should be starting. So I suppose my question is like, yeah, do we have that depth to compete with the top six, let's say? No. And I know injuries have killed us.
I was going to say, with a fully fit squad, we absolutely do. I think we do have a solid bench. Mm. If you look, let's imagine if we had Solly March fit. And okay, you would have Solly March on the right, potentially. Fair. Well, De Zerbi would. Matoma on the left. And then you've got Odinga and Julian Ciso on the bench. They are unbelievable impacts to come off. Or but you start in Ciso as a 10, you've got João Pedro to come off the bench.
Defensively, yeah, do you think we've got enough?
Oh, no, absolutely not. That's the question. That's where in January we need to sort that out, don't we, really? Well, let's say fully fit Lamptey starts at right back, fully fit Estupiñán starts at left back. You've got Duncan, Van Heck, and then you've got, Igor Veltman on the bench, potentially. So in terms of bench, we do. But yeah, we've spoken about that, where in January we really, really need to pull our finger out of the arse.
Yeah. We're nearly at January. We're nearly there. It's been a slog to get there.
But I don't even care about Christmas. I just want to get to January 1st.
January the 1st.
Yeah, can we skip Christmas?
Yeah, literally. No, it's gonna be a big month for us, as we all know. But before then, we've got to get there. There's some massive festive fixtures to get through, and just to finalise on Chelsea stuff, really. I mean, obviously we've pretty much spoke about most of them, and I think, as I say, Facundo, Lallana deserve their credit. I don't know who else I'm probably missing. Van Hecker was decent, but I just want to ask
Ryan
about...
on that. I was going to text you when it happened. Sorry, because it was in the first half. Nicholas Jackson was through on goal, and I don't know. Yeah, obviously you didn't see it, but Jackson runs past Van Hecke when he's through on goal, and it's blown up for a foul, Van Hecke, but he literally elbows Van Hecke in the back of the head. And then Van Hecke gets up and asks, he's like, what the heck? Shock. Yeah, what the Van Hecke? And has a go at him. And Jackson, what's he called?
Jackson probably had Astrid Wet on his mind, probably.
He probably did, yeah, mate. That's a whole other conversation, mate. Yeah, apparently he just had a kid last week.
Yeah, Howler.
Oh, crazy. My God. No, we can bring out Astrid Wet. You naughty girl, and yeah, Jackson, you naughty boy. But he was walking over to Van Hecke, like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. Didn't do anything wrong. And then the replay, you see him just like go bosh in the back of Van Hecke's
head. He's got away with the one there.
Back to back games where, you know, Evan Ferguson against Athens, he got clotted in the head, and now Van Hecke as well.
Dodgy guy. Dodgy guy in too many ways. Dodgy guy. Annoying, really. It's just so typical us, though. And I didn't actually see that one, but I'll try to find it back. But it's just typical us. I mean, We should have killed them. And I think that's the basic thing to take away from it, is we should have killed them. They go down to 10. Singing Cheerio Palace Scum was a lot of fun, but in the end, they got the last laugh. And it's because we seem to have that way of just not being able to do it. We can't just finish the game off where we should. And I must admit, I thought we would have done if it wasn't for that penalty. And that's what's hugely annoying, because I think we were there.
I thought after that red card, because obviously we just made it 2-1 as well, and then that red card, I thought, all right, this is it. We're going to win this game 3-2 now. And then that penalty did kill us. But yeah, here we are.
Yeah, it's just.
So speaking of the Astrid Wet thing, this just happened. It's quite funny. So Jackson posted on Instagram, and then his caption was "God did," and it was like +3, and then was it Trevor Chalmers? Commented going, bro got the extra boost, obviously implying that he got that picture from Astrid Wet.
Oh, God.
Thing is, he wasn't
wait,
even
wait,
good.
Wait, was he tweeting about...
he wasn't even good.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
He's bang average, isn't he? Oh, what a mug. I hate Chelsea so much.
Oh, I do.
They're not even good. Thing is, I know this is going to sound really salty. Yeah, I know this is going to sound really salty. I don't want to be that fan, but they weren't good. They weren't good yesterday. We just weren't. We were bad. And we just weren't up to our usual standards.
Yeah, this is it.
No, we weren't bad. No, sorry, I take that back.
No, it wasn't up to our usual standards.
It wasn't up to our usual standards. But Chelsea weren't good, and that's the frustrating thing. It's like they didn't beat us because they were the better team.
That's what's annoying. Yeah. And then when you see Sanchez doing that, I think that's where this is how it starts, and this is where football rivalries come into it, and this is where anger comes from, because you know we didn't deserve that yesterday, and I think that's the frustrating thing is we know we didn't deserve.
We should have killed them.
Of course, we should have done. And in the 3-1s come in a time. A really, really, really bad time. And then you've got an absolute mountain to climb. And it just looks like it knocked our confidence. Fair play to João Pedro for coming, trying to get back into it. But we just didn't have enough in the end. And, you know, you can debate all the way through. At the end of the day, we've got another game in 2 days' time. As of the time recording, this is now Monday. So that's the thing. It's the constant rotation. We just got to be okay for Wednesday night. The thing I want to ask you, boys, is... I mean, I saw it to yesterday. You obviously went to the one in the cup, and obviously last season. I think last season there was a lot more on our end. This season, there's definitely a lot more on the Chelsea end. Would you now consider this a rivalry, so to speak? I'll start with you, Ben.
Definitely, it definitely is. If you just look at the replies and the comments in, especially Brighton Bubble, just any Brighton fan account. Even I was getting it as well. All the Chelsea fans just like laughing and just trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, saying we're salty, we're crying or whatever. There were more Chelsea comments on the official Brighton post than actual Brighton fans. Unless that's saying something about the little amount
size
of Brighton fans we've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. It's not just Brighton trying to force this rivalry. If Chelsea didn't care about us, they wouldn't be replying on everything and getting that worked up about it. So there clearly is a rivalry, and I'm here for it because we need more than Palace, because that's not a rivalry anymore because they're so shit.
No, I'm still annoyed at Palace, but yeah, Maz, we'll go with you. What's your take on it?
Yeah, no, I would say it's a rivalry. I wouldn't say it's like deep-rooted, and you know, I wouldn't say it's a historical rivalry. I think it's a bit of obviously it's a very fresh rivalry because of the amount of players they've taken, the amount of backroom
staff.
But
is it a rivalry? Does it mean a rivalry to you?
I wouldn't class it a rivalry, but I do want to beat them. So I don't know if you want to consider that as a rivalry, but every time I play them, I want to beat Chelsea, but I wouldn't consider it a rivalry on paper. If you had to like...
Or no.
let's refer to Football Manager. You know Football Manager... You know, a Football Manager, when they have it on the profiles where it says like rivals or whatever, or like derby, it wouldn't be on there. It wouldn't be on there.
Oh, of course, but no.
So it's not a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry in terms of like the people outside of Brighton and Chelsea. People don't consider it a rivalry, but when you're a Brighton or Chelsea fan,
yeah, how you feel?
It's safe to say it's definitely become a rivalry.
Yeah. Okay. If that's how you want to do it on the skip, If that's how you want to assess it, then yeah, I suppose it
and
is.
And this is how rivalries start. Like, let's have a look at how Brighton Palace started. It started all because of an altercation between the manager and the fans and the coins situation. There was no actual like deep-rooted hatred there, to my knowledge. It kind of all started in that situation.
Yeah.
And then obviously I think we changed from the Dolphins to the Seagulls or something like that because just to battle the Eagles. And then you could, let's say 50 years down the line, we're going to be like, why is Chelsea... and Brighton, a rivalry, they're miles away from each other. Oh, it's because Chelsea nicked all the Brighton's backroom staff, all their best players, and everything like that. And that's how it could potentially start, I'd say.
Okay. I
can't argue against that,
I will say it is. And I was probably on the thing of, no, I just don't like them, to, no, I think we're rivals. Yesterday there was... fair bit of trouble outside the ground, not to name any names or say any faces, but there was definitely a little bit of a few scraps, definitely, from both ends. It was a little bit hostile on the way out. And I think that sort of thing with the atmosphere at the end of the game from both ends, proper anger on both sides. You know, there's real celebration from fans. There's anger on both sides of the benches. This isn't the first time it's happened. It's about the fourth time we faced each other since it all went down. And each and every time has been equally as sort of fierce. So, in my opinion, it is a rivalry. I think now, I think we've established it.
Cool. I'm gonna have to shoot. So unless we wanna wrap up now,
can you just give me a sec? I think someone just knocked the door. I'm not sure though. Can you just give me one sec?
Yes, well. Yeah, it's the Chelsea fans coming to break down his door.
Right, boys. I think we've pretty much covered everything. Unless there's anything else you want to mention, I'm just trying to flick through my brain if there's any.
Was there anyone at your door, Ryan?
There was someone at my door. I can confirm. Yeah, it was about three Chelsea fans all dressed in black. They ran away when they saw my when they saw my hair all done nicely. So no, I don't know. But I don't know.
Just get the badge in.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, got the off-white head, mate.
He had a badge on in his boxers.
By the way, so yes, Hinchelwood. I just want to mention him because he's been proper thrown into it just before we wrap up. And he deserves some props because I actually thought he was really good yesterday. Left back, faced against Sterling as well, of all players. You know, such an established, silky player in Sterling. Absolutely done well, I think, to be honest with you. He had a couple of moments where he gave it back to him, but he's not a left back. And he's played very well.
Obviously not to dig him out, but there was a couple of moments where he looked a bit shaky, but on the whole I agree with you. I think he looked really good. I think he's such a tough thing to come into, especially Athens away, then into Chelsea away. Like, he's been thrown into some deep end scenarios and against some good quality players, like you say, Raheem Sterling, one of the best English players arguably in the last sort of, you know, 5-10 years. You know, he's done really well, and I think he's got high ceiling. So, no, fair play to him. He's doing really well considering the circumstances.
Cool. Ben, anything else, or are we good to wrap up, mate?
Let me have a look at the notes that I made when I was fuming. Chelsea, okay, give Chelsea quick props. I wrote down their CBs were solid. I think they were. That Badiashile and Thiago Silva locked up Evan Ferguson for the majority of the game until he was taken off. I feel like they, not to say they bullied him, but they handled him very, very well. They were very physical on him. We couldn't really get past them, to be honest. I think they defended pretty well. Verbruggen over still is the last point, and VAR is a shambles.
Yeah, no, we've pretty much covered everything then in that sense. Credit to Chelsea for winning the game through gritted teeth. We'll see you again in April. Unless we see you beforehand in the FA Cup, which I don't really want to do. I will not be participating in any Chelsea podcasts.
Got to beat Stoke first, Ryan. We've got to beat Stoke first.
Yeah, got to beat Stoke first. Forgot about that one. Again. Until then, we've got Brentford next. Are we going to do a preview now, or are we going to do a preview another time?
I won't have time. You two can, but I won't be there. But yeah, you two can.
Okay. All right, mate. All right, let's end that there. Thank you for listening, streaming.
You two do it.
Hopefully, this has got somewhat of the distress out of your head a little bit on a horrible Monday morning where it's tipping down with rain as well. Just to add to it.
Has for me.
Not been for you, but yeah, it has been for me. But enjoy the rest of your day.
No, I said it has for me. It's done the job for me.
It's done the business. It's kept me indoors. But yeah, we'll see you soon.
It's good therapy.
Roll on Brentford. Roll on Brentford. We need to bounce back. We'll see you soon. Peace. Oh, I don't ever say peace. I never do that.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.